What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 7:01 on a Wednesday night as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. A rainy Wednesday night, so please be careful out there if you are listening and you do feel the urge to call in. Make sure you go hands-free. We'll be okay with that as long as you guys are safe. We'll be fine. We'll be fine with the conversation and whatever kind of feedback we get. We'll be okay. We just want to make sure you guys are safe out there. So be safe as you're driving tonight out there in this bad weather. I love the rain, but not when you have to drive in it. Like it when you get to relax. But we come to you tonight again. Thank you to all the veterans out there on this Veterans Day. It's just, as always great to honor the veterans out there and what you've done. So, of course, the way that we always want to, it's just simply a thank you. So a hat tip and a thank you to all the veterans out there on this Veterans Day. I hope your day has been fantastic for you. So I just wanted to make sure we did that. And you'll hear during our IDs when we do come back thanking the veterans. So we did want to make sure we thanked the veterans at the very top of the show. So thank you again to all of the veterans. All right, let's get to some more of the other stuff that we like to talk about. Some sports, which is, of course, why we're here tonight as we run until 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night. And we wanted to start off like many people have been doing all day long here today on The Fanatic is simply, hey, let's talk about this Brett Favre thing. We were going to talk about it last night. We were having a really good conversation in general, a really good conversation in general with the Carson Wentz story, with the young quarterbacks that we watched over the weekend that I had a chance to pay attention to, and we brought it up yesterday. It was a good talk. Tyler Zuli also in here as well, as usual. And we had a really good conversation with Tyler and you, the callers, and everyone who listened. Again, thank you. So as we were doing that, we kind of got lost and did not fit it in. And that's my bad, that we did not fit it in last night when everything really dropped yesterday. But that's okay, because we have another day to catch up on it. And I know you've heard it all day. I know it's kind of like, Devon, we're going to do this again. Yeah, but, you know, it's us. It may be a little bit different than what you've heard. So we'll talk about that. And for those who did not hear, first of all, when I heard when they said Brett Favre had something to say about Carson Wentz, honestly, before I heard it, on First Take, before I heard it, my first instinct was, okay, I don't really care, but this is my job. I have to listen to what Brett Favre had to say. Number one, he was on First Take, which you guys know that's not really my scene. That's not my thing. I don't watch those types of shows. That's just me. I'm not a hot takey guy. And I think that's what most people, at least who have expressed to me when listening to this show, have said to me, hey, I like that you don't just throw things out there just to throw it out there. And that's not my thing. I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to change who I am. This is what you get every single night from 7 to 10, 6 to 10, 6 to midnight, however it goes, whether we're doing wraparounds for Sixers and Flyers or we're doing our regular 6 to 10 shows. This is what you're going to get. So I'm not a hot take guy, right? So when, again, Brett Favre's name was put out there talking about Carson Wentz, I didn't care, but I had to care to pay attention enough to what he was saying. He is Brett Favre. He does have a relationship with Doug Peterson, the whole deal, right? So I was not disappointed, basically, when I heard this. And right out of the gate, my thing is this when it comes to Brett Favre. I still didn't care what he had to say. The only thing that I had was, why did you decide to bring that up now? Why? What was the need? What was the need in doing that? What was the need, and what was your need in bringing up this guy? Why? I just did not understand it. And, you know, it's what it is. It's it's just one of those things at this point, and that's fine. All right? So let's get ready to play the audio. Let's let the people hear the audio, and let's go from there. So here's Brett Favre with talking about, again, Carson Wentz. All right, our Vox Pro once again, our system is acting up once again. So we'll get back to that. But again, for me with Brett Favre, my thing once again is just I really did not have a care in the world what he had to say. He said it, and you just go along with it, and you move on. Then you get the Doug Peterson part of it today, where this is the first time he spoke to the media on a Wednesday with his weekly hit. And as he's talking to the media, Tim throws something at him. Les Bowen of the Daily News and the Inquirer throws something at him. Then you have Rob Motti throw something at him, trying to give him an opportunity to explain it. And that will come later. But here, if you have not heard, and it has been the buzz here lately around our area, Brett Favre talking about Carson Wentz.
I actually thought that they should have kept Nick Foles rather than Carson Wentz, just based off of production and where they got to. You know, they won a Super Bowl with Foles. And that was a little bit surprising. But they're obviously banking on his upside. You know, how many more years do you let it linger before you stick with him or you cut bait? That's a question they only can answer.
Well, again, Brett Favre there on First Take speaking about Carson Wentz and thinking that Nick Foles should actually be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, should have never gotten rid of him, and that was a mistake by the Philadelphia Eagles. I disagree with him. I disagree because I think, once again, it was the right thing to do for the Philadelphia Eagles, your franchise quarterback. Brett Favre has a right to his opinion, and he certainly has that. You'll hear more about that when we get to Doug Peterson later on. But they're like, all right, whatever, dude. Let's just move on. So let's get to the second part here of what he had to say here on First Take.
But I know Doug. Of course, we were together for a long time. He's a very simple coach. He's going to put you in the best possible opportunity to succeed. He's not going to complicate things, so I know it's not Doug.
All right, he knows it's not Doug. Okay, well, all right, you know it's not Doug. So who is it? Who is it exactly? Is it Jeffrey Lurie? Is it Howie Roseman? Who is it? I have no idea who it is at this point that you feel like it's not Doug. Well, who is it? And I disagree with that. That's his buddy. And I get it. Now the whole thing is going to happen there, right? That's his buddy. Well, this is his buddy. This must be something that's coming from Doug Peterson. Why is he just randomly saying this now? Is Doug Peterson frustrated with Carson Wentz? We've been talking about that a lot anyway. I know I have to give credit to Mike. Mike has said for a long time now, it doesn't seem like he has his back, right? Doesn't seem like he has his back. What is going on with the head coach and his quarterback? Doesn't seem like he has his back. Well, does he have his back? I don't know. I have no idea. He keeps saying that he's fine with him. There's no issue with him, right? All of these things, he's saying, this is not a problem. That is our franchise quarterback, and again, we'll get to that later. I'm tired of this whole thing, first of all. Why bring this up? What was the need in bringing this up? I did not understand it then when I first heard it. I still don't understand it now, but here we are having to talk about it once again because Brett Favre said something about it. Now, again, it's about our quarterback here in the area, so we have to talk about it. It's something that's needed, and people have opinions about it because there are a bunch of Foles people who wanted Nick Foles to stay in the first place. I am not one of them. Not that I dislike Nick Foles. I didn't see the need. You had a franchise quarterback right there. Things have not worked out how we wanted them to. I know they have not. That being said, I still think they chose the right quarterback. We're sitting back right now, and it doesn't look good. Now, when you look at the other side of Nick Foles and what he's doing in Jacksonville, now being moved to the Chicago Bears, and yes, he has them winning, but he's not necessarily playing that well. And I get this too. Him in this system is totally different from whatever was going on in those systems that he has been in and failed at, if you will, with Jacksonville and now Chicago, where he's not playing great. Yeah, he might have continued to do those things here in Philadelphia. He may have. I doubt it. At a consistent basis, then I would have understood going out there and getting Jalen Hurts at that point, not when you have Carson Wentz. Here's the final one for us here with Doug Peterson. Pardon me, Brett Favre speaking on Carson Wentz. Okay, that's all good. That's all good. So, listen, that's fine. So, right there, again, this is where we go. Number one, Jay is already here, so, you know, this is something we were going to get into. Do you agree with Brett Favre and his point about Carson Wentz should have been the backup to Nick Foles, and that's the quarterback they should have chosen? And the Doug Peterson angle on this, this is a tough spot for him. Here is one of his best friends talking again about his franchise quarterback and having to deal with this because his best friend said whatever. I want to know, why didn't... Is this something that they talked about already? Is this something that, they spoke about and you say, don't say this if we talk about this stuff publicly. What are you doing here? Why is this? I did not understand it. I don't like it. I did not want to hear this from anybody at this point. And unfortunately, this is where we are having to talk about this once again. So where are you with Brett Favre's comments? Was it necessary, number one? And was he right again to come out and talk about this? Where did this come from? Because, listen, you have to believe that they've had conversations, right? They've had conversations. But is this something that you expected Brett Favre to say? I didn't expect on a Tuesday yesterday to hear this and say, all right, well, let's get ready to listen to another person talk about, Max Kellerman, yes. Some of the other talking heads that are out there, sure. Brett Favre, no. Federer would have just knocked it down and said, listen, Doug's going to do what he has to do with Carson Wentz. That's their franchise quarterback. Nick Foles did the job. He's now in Chicago. That's the water under the bridge at this point. Let's just move on. No. Unsolicited, well, I think they should have kept Nick Foles. Carson Wentz wasn't the right guy. And here we are. That's a mistake by them. And now here we are, where we have to talk about their possible mistake. So, Eagle fans, what do you make of this whole thing? I didn't understand why he did it in the first place. I'm sick of hearing about Nick Foles and what he did in Philadelphia. I have to be honest with you. It's over with. Okay? They are Super Bowl champions in 2017. Not now. Not now. Right? This is ridiculous at this point. I am tired of hearing about this. We can go back to so many different scenarios and saying this narrative, this. Like, look, the Sixers just released their new jerseys, right? The City Edition jerseys, black. We're all anticipating getting the 2001 uniform. That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. All right? That's exactly what we're going to get. Guess what? That's our narrative, not the team's. What did they do? They freaked it. They flipped it. They went with something totally different, something totally new, because maybe, just maybe a little bit, they want to forge their own path with their own regime here, different people, and go with their own new look. And this Nick Foles thing keeps coming up because other people bring it up, and then sometimes locally it comes up. Why do we continue to talk about this? I'm tired of talking about Nick Foles. He is not here. He hasn't been here for two seasons now. Can we move on from this? And Brett Favre just stoked it up one more time. The fire, the flames, all of that stuff is out there. I'm tired of it. Are you tired of it with me? Seriously, even if you are a Nick Foles fan and you wanted Nick Foles to stay here. I'm a Nick Foles fan, but that doesn't mean that I wanted him to stay here. All right? Doesn't mean that I want him to stay here. Are you tired of the Nick Foles narrative at this point? To go along with the Brett Favre conversation, are you tired, like I am, of the Nick Foles talk? 610-632-0975. We have a lot of things to get into tonight. The bold prediction. I was reading The Athletic. I love The Athletic. You know, the friends that I have, Michael Lee, we have on from time to time, just left, went back to the Washington Post. But we have Derek Bodner, a friend, and Shiel Kapadia covers the Eagles, right? Zach Berman, they do great work. And as I speak about Shiel and Zach, they did a thing on there where they decided to go with the next, let me make sure I give it to you correctly here. Discuss the second half of the Eagles season and make 10 predictions. This was a great story. I love this story that they did. The 10 predictions for the Eagles second half, the 8 games remaining. Obviously, let me give it to you real quick here. They're talking about the NFC playoffs, East playoffs, Fulgham's yardage, Wentz's interceptions. Does that stop Hurts's role in the future, Zach Ertz's future, and much more with their 10 predictions for the second half of the season. So we want to get into some of these and throw these at you as we take your phone call, talking about this Brett Favre mess all over again, and give you some of that. So we'll talk about that. Some news in the NBA again. Already, they're putting out, Brian Windhorst says, on that Christmas Day game right now, you know, the feature could be Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers. That's fantastic. I like that. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they're back. Are they going to have the number 2 overall pick? Is Andrew Wiggins going to be there? That's fun. Maybe the Sixers might be a part of that as well. Tyler wouldn't like that because he might have to do the game. But we have plenty of stuff to get into tonight. We have our side topic that we'll give you in the next segment. Of course, we'll give you that. That's always a fun thing that we do. So we'll make sure we bring those to you as we go along here tonight. So look, 610-632-0975. Brett Favre's comments. Are you tired of hearing about Nick Foles like I am? It has been too long. It's 2 years now. 2 years now. Why are we still talking about Nick Foles? Yes, Carson Wentz is not performing at the level we expected. Maybe Nick Foles would be. But guess what? He's not here for us to find out, and it's easy for us to say that, especially when he's not necessarily tearing up the league with the Bears or even Jacksonville before trading to the Bears. 610-632-0975. Let's start off with Jay and Bala Kenwood right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, tipping us off on this Wednesday night. What's up, Jay? What's up?
Now listen.
Yes.
Foles to the state. I'm sorry, bro.
I'm listening.
So listen, I've never, anybody that knows me and is cool with me and talks to me on a daily basis, tell you, I've never, ever been a Carson Wentz fan. I thought it was a horrendous idea to trade all those picks for a quarterback that wasn't highly rated coming out of college. It was somebody they really made up their mind that was going to be a good quarterback and try to hype everybody up to believe. And from day one, I thought Sam Bradford beat him out that first year. To be the starting quarterback, he got it because Bradford got hurt. Then they traded Bradford away for the first-round pick. The second year, he made me like a fool. Made me, my words, like, he crawled the pods out there, everybody.
Well, once you get a first-round pick for a quarterback like Sam Bradford, you know you have to do that, Jay.
No. I know you agree with that one. No, listen, Howie deserves, you know, a trophy for that. Minnesota, they were tripping at the time.
Right, you have to do that.
But that's crazy anyway. They gave Kirk Cousins, but I digress. I don't like Wentz. I'm not saying that if Foles was here, we had more Super Bowls, but he was more of a system quarterback and more controllable. Wentz is out of control. We need to trade Wentz while we can and scrap it, man. It's not working. It doesn't work. He is what he is. He has a low IQ.
All right, so what is he then? You said he is what he is. What is he?
Andy Dalton 2.0.
I think he's better than Andy Dalton, and I like Andy Dalton.
Not in his prime. Not the same quarterback.
Andy, all right, well, look, so you're talking about Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton led them to the playoffs. Now, when he gets there, let's see what happens. Maybe you have a different result. But Andy Dalton got them to the postseason.
Exactly. Remind me again how many playoff wins Wentz got.
He has zero because he hasn't played in a game where he's been able to finish.
And whose fault is that?
Well, and not his when you get injured. That's not anybody's fault.
Okay, so he's injury prone. I mean, it's Greg Olden. Who cares? I mean, either way, he's not always. Listen, Dallas took Dak Prescott in the fourth round of that same draft.
Yeah, sometimes it happens. It works out that way. Yeah.
Okay, we can agree. Dak Prescott is better than Carson Wentz, correct?
I disagree with that.
Come on, don't do that.
I disagree with that. I think they're both good quarterbacks. I think Dak Prescott, I've always given Dak Prescott credit, too. So it's not a Dallas Cowboy bias or anything like that. I give him, not everybody gives. The people who can't stand him, and they say he's not a good quarterback. I don't. I think he's a good quarterback. But I also think Carson Wentz is a good quarterback as well. He stinks this year, and he has not looked himself since the injuries. So maybe that is part of it, Jay. But for me, you ask me the question, I'm saying no.
Go play rookie year. Who's rookie of the year?
I don't care about that. If that's what you want to say, Jay, then like you said, that second year, who was the better quarterback? He was.
Listen, you're my boy.
Hold on, Jay. That's right. We are boys. I disagree with you that he was the rookie of the year, but I didn't care about that. My question to you is, like you said, 2017, he pulled you in. Why? Because he was what? He was great.
He was. But I also said to people that year, I said, if he don't start playing more safety-wise, he's too late first. He doesn't protect his body.
I agree with all of that.
And he still plays that way to this day.
And it drives me crazy. I love Ben Simmons, Jay. You know that. He doesn't do certain things, and it drives me crazy. But it doesn't mean I don't think that they aren't good players.
And before you let me go, I'm going to fix this point.
Yeah, go for it.
Go get hard.
Well, listen. Listen, before you hang up. Listen. Sham Sharania just reported 11 minutes ago the Rockets' Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston, yes. Sources tell The Athletic.
I wrote that. Turn him to the next
one. I hear you. Listen, Jay, we'll talk, man. All right, be safe out there. All right, look, that's where we're going. 610-632-0975. You heard the comments. You heard the comments from Brett Favre. Why did he have to say it? What did you make of him? And are you tired of the Foles comments? At this point, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. Can we stop? 610-632-0975. You just heard the Russell Westbrook news. Feel free. We'll give you our side topic on the other side right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
733 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you on this Wednesday night. Talking some birds. I'm tired of Nick Foles. They're going to make me not like Nick Foles the way that everybody talks about him, because can we move on? You know what's that thing? Move on. Let's move on. Let's not stay. First of all, they won the Super Bowl, right? It's fantastic. We love it. We'll remember forever. He's a legend in this town. So much so that people say he's the best quarterback in team history when he is not. All right? He just did something that none of the best didn't accomplish. And we give him credit for that. Forever he is linked with the quarterbacks in that way. But he is not better than Donovan and Jaws. He's just not. Okay? He's not. What he did is take them to that trophy. And that is something that he has over them. But he is not better than them. To me, he is not better than Carson Wentz. And this Brett Favre thing just stokes up the fire and the flame again. And now we're talking about this mess all over again. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on Brett Favre and his comments and saying that the Birds should have kept Nick Foles instead of Carson Wentz. He thought that was the right move. I disagree with him. That was not the right move. Carson Wentz was the better quarterback. They both fit this system. They give you two different ways of playing. And now that we can add these, as we just talked to Jay, as we've added these injuries to Carson Wentz, maybe that has changed them. And at the now that we sit here, armchair quarterback, and we GM it later on, maybe it was the wrong thing in general to give them that money the way that they did. But I still think the better quarterback, the right decision was to move on with Carson Wentz. He has to be better. This stuff would work out where we wouldn't have this conversation if he made better decisions himself. Like not leading the league in turnovers. It's a disgrace the way he's playing. He needs to play better. We hope he does, but Nick Foles is not the answer. I'm sorry. Yes, in this system, he thrived. He failed in St. Louis, Jacksonville. Minimal success right now with the Chicago Bears. We'll see where that goes. He has been playing so up and down with the Bears that Mitchell Trubisky, they wanted him out so badly. So badly. Now there are a number of Bears fans that want him back in because of the way Nick Foles is playing. Think about that. Now, again, different system, but you have to believe they ask, what can we do to make it easier for you? What the easy throws, all those things that they did when he stepped in for Carson Wentz after the injury. Make it simple, things that Nick Foles likes to do. The offense goes the ways that he wants with that RPO and all of that, and it worked out. You have to think that they're doing the same thing. He is now a couple of years older. Maybe he can't do it like he did a couple of seasons ago. And Nick Foles is no longer the Nick Foles with that magic touch. Would it be different here in Philadelphia? I don't know. I have no idea. How many times do we talk about, all right, well, they drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but if D.K. Metcalf was here, would D.K. Metcalf be D.K. Metcalf because he's here playing for the Eagles? Or if Jason Tatum was the selection over Markelle Fultz, they would have gotten to this system playing next to Simmons and Embiid. It would have been terrible because he wouldn't have been able to flourish and thrive in the system because of the way that they play. It wouldn't allow him to be him, and it would not have worked out. So basically, you would have been poisoned by the Philadelphia sports team that you're playing for, and he would not be who he is in Boston and in Seattle and any other player that we look back on. We don't know. Would Carson Wentz have won that Super Bowl? People talk about that. I don't know. I would venture to say yes because of the way he was playing. You hear people definitively pounding on the desk saying Nick Foles was the only quarterback who could have won that for the Eagles. We don't know that. Carson Wentz was playing fantastic football before he got hurt. We do not know that he would have not won that Super Bowl. They may have won it differently. It may have been closer. I don't know. 610-632-0975. Are you also tired of hearing about Nick Foles? I'm sick of it. He's in Chicago. Let that man live. You know when it's time to talk about him? When we see him for the wild card game after the Eagles win their division, Chicago makes the playoffs with Nick Foles still at the quarterback position, and he comes here and his great vengeance for Carson Wentz as he beats down the Bears in that good defense, and Nick Foles only has 10 points in the game. And four turnovers. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, good evening.
How's it going, Devon? How are you?
Brett Favre ticked me off.
I can tell. I just let you run.
There was no need for it. That's why I don't watch those shows, man.
I agree with you.
Like, look, remember last year when I came on here, Max Kellerman said Baker Mayfield and OBJ at the end of the season were going to be the number one wide receiver quarterback duo tandem in the league. And I said, man, get out of here. Sick of stuff like that.
See, I agree with you that there's no cause for it. But I also have to take it a step further and say that plain and simple as I possibly can, I don't care what Brett Favre has to say.
I agree.
At all.
I agree, but this is our business. We're sports fans. We're Eagles people that we have to talk about here. So we have to do it.
I agree.
And I agree with you. I don't care what he has to say.
And the reason that I say that isn't like, hey, let's not discuss it. That's not what I mean at all. What I mean by this is that there is a controversy being stirred up for no particular reason because of comments made by someone who is not within the organization. Because comments that are made by somebody who's not even in the city. And how many times, you bring up Max Kellerman, how many times do we talk about why these guys, these national pundit, you know, talking heads, why do they discuss Philadelphia, Boston,
they know,
and New York?
Because they know.
They know we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, because they know. They know.
This doesn't bother me.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. All right. We have also a poll that you put up on 97.5 The Fanatic.
We do.
And Tom says, move on, you guys, because this is such a cliche thing on these made-up issues. Hashtag get creative. There are enough things to talk about. Well, Tom, this is the number one thing really going on around here where we have to talk about it. Tom, this is the point. We don't want to talk about it. He should not have said it. What was the point of it? But let's get to the Twitter poll. Please.
Yeah, so we're talking about storylines that are intensified or made up by comments being stupid and things like that. So we wanted to know, there's a lot of tiresome conversation that has happened or is currently happening in the city of Philadelphia surrounding its four sports teams and beyond, but it's mostly Eagles and Sixers, a little bit of Phillies, a little bit of Flyers. But with these two specifically, the question is, there's a ton of topics that were tiresome in Philadelphia sports, which is slash was the worst. And of course, if the ones that you decide is on there is not on the four of the poll, you can write us in. So your options are the Wentz-Foles debate, the Mutombo-Theo Ratliff debate. So we're going to throw it back to 2001 for that one.
Yeah, you don't get the jersey, but you get this.
Yeah, we get this. Trading up for Marcus Mariota, do the deal, if you remember that one. And the Hinkie slash Colangelo saga. So those are your four choices. We have a little over 300 votes so far. As I expected, 72% of the people say Wentz-Foles.
Okay. And how many votes?
Now we have 353.
Okay. All right. 610-632-0975. So go check it out, folks. Vote on 97.5, The Fanatic again. Ton of topics that are... we are tiresome of in Philadelphia sports, which is, was the worst. And you could also write in your choice if it isn't there. The four options, Wentz-Foles debate, Mutombo Ratliff trade debate, trading up for Mariota, Hinkie Colangelo, should Colangelo have stepped in for Hinkie? What do you guys think? 610-632-0975. I'm tired of this Wentz-Foles one, so I'm not going to choose that one. The Hinkie Colangelo thing always gets me because here's another one. Hinkie would not have made that move. You don't know that. You don't know what he would have done when it was time to pick players. You have no idea what type of player he liked. You don't know. Just like I don't know. What we saw was Colangelo make some mistakes. What we don't know, what we didn't see, and yes, because Hinkie wasn't here, we don't know that he would have made this trade or signed this player because that's not something he would have done. You don't know that. So I'm tired of, you should have let Sam Hinkie sit there and make things right. You don't know how long he was going to sit there and allow them to rot in the NBA. You don't know. Just like I don't know. Let's remember this. Often forgotten. That man asked for a 10-year contract. Okay? You don't know if it was going to be year 6, 7, 5. Well, you don't know what it was going to be when he was going to decide, all right, I've had enough of collecting assets. Now let's go out there and sign some real NBA players. You don't know. You can also give in a write-in. 610-632-0975. I'll give you one right off the top that it just before we go to break, I mean, before we go to the calls, 610-632-0975. Should Jim Fregosi had put in Mitch Williams in 93 World Series? The Joe Carter home run. That narrative. Listen, he decided that that was the right thing to do. Okay, you go with it. I give you another Phillies one. One more. I'm on a roll now. Should Charlie Manuel have left Pedro Martinez in the game? I said yes at the time. I was wrong. But I'm tired of going back. Tyler's shaking his... Tyler, don't shake your head, man.
No, the answer was no.
No, it's not. The answer was yes. He should have left in there. He was rolling. He got it to a tough spot.
One time through the inning, J-Hap comes in.
That's okay. That's all right. He was rolling. I had confidence in Pedro that night. Should have left him in the game. I was wrong, but he should have left him in the game. So this is what we're talking about. 610-632-0975. Side topic real quick. Don, Rob, Pat, James, Theo, John, real quick. And we'll throw these at you guys while you're on hold. Today, 46th birthday. For who? That guy named Leo DiCaprio. What do we know Leo as? Great actor, fine actor, great roles in these movies. Fantastic. What's the other thing we know about him? That dude is a bona fide ladies' man. So, in honor of Leo's 46th birthday, we ask you, best ladies' men of all time. Entertainment, sports, whatever. Best ladies' men out there. Doesn't mean that they had to do, you know, they had to bed all these women. Just simply, oh, the women love that guy. He's that guy. So I'll start it off. Tyler gives his, and then we'll go to Don and everybody else. I give you one. Ladies' man. Seems like all the women love him. George Clooney. Right? Cool, suave, right? This is a cool dude. Even guys are like, you know what? When I wear my suit, I'm not buttoning up my top button either. Right? That's a cool dude. Ladies love him. Tyler, who's your ladies' man?
I'm sure you've seen this graphic before.
Yes.
But how about a baseball field full of...
At each position?
Yes. That would be one Derek Jeter.
Left field, center field, yes. Right field, third base, shortstop.
Yeah, that would be, of course, one Derek Jeter. And the one thing that I respected about Derek Jeter, he just was a dating man.
Just went about his business.
You know what I mean? So he never caused any trouble by getting married and then having problems, right? He was just a dating man. He was a bachelor.
Just went about his business. Just went about his business. So that's our side topic for tonight as we talk about all the Brett Favre, Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, and other tiresome storylines, the narratives that are out there. Leo DiCaprio's 46th birthday. That man has, yep, he has a checklist. And we ask you, best ladies, men out there, entertainment sports of all time. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Don on the Chester. Don, thanks for hanging on, man. You're on the Fanatic.
What's up, big guy? What's going on with you?
Oh, Don, man, they got me fired up tonight. I'm sick of this.
Okay, well, first of all, before I go there, well, I got the tip of my tongue. When I was coming up, Billy D. Williams was that guy.
Yes, sir. I wanted to hear it tonight. Yep.
Billy D. was that guy when I was coming up.
Did you ever try to say Colt 45 like he did?
Nah, I never tried to. I always knew I was handsome, but I just wasn't that good looking. So, you know, I never tried to go that route.
Nah, you know, you got it. It's all, you are Billy D. Williams, man. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, but okay. Yeah, man, Billy D. for sure coming up. That was one of the guys.
You know what? The thing I wanted to say about Favre, right, is that if Doug mentioned anything, too far. And see, I may be in the minority here with what I'm going to say here, is that if he mentioned anything to Brett, now Brett was wrong for, you know, if that's the basis of him doing it, it's because Doug mentioned something to him, you know, about that. So right, he was right. Wrong. Because the thing is that I've been listening to for the last 2 years.
And the callers.
is about Doug. Is Doug has been very honest about things. And like, for example, what I started to learn was what the situation was with him and Carson regarding the offense. And the same thing applied for Nick Foles, is that he said that I would call plays. He said I would call plays that they were comfortable with. And before the game in preparation, they would go through things and Carson would say, well, yeah, I like this, I like that, and I don't like this, I don't like that. And he said that, so Doug basically put it over there. So when Forrest said that, I said, wait a minute. I heard Doug mention this at one time and about being comfortable. So that's what led me to believe that, Carson definitely needs to do better, despite what he got going on. Because, of course, nothing looks like 17 around him. It just doesn't.
It doesn't. But, right. And that's a whole thing. That's a collective thing with the team. Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the scary situation with that. Is that if Doug is bringing certain things to Carson, well, then maybe it's Carson that's not.
We've talked about that, where he has seemed to regress because a lot of the stuff like his footwork and the information that we hear from Adam Kaplan, Jeff Mosch, when they're talking about the stuff that they're getting, where he's not taking the coaching. But
the thing I was trying to get at, Vaughn, about that, what was scary to me is the play selection. Is whatever day that they go over, in the quarterback room, or Doug is talking about, the game plan. So Carson, what do you think? You think about this play, that play. I'm thinking to myself, is there a possibility that Carson's the one that doesn't want to run the ball all that much? I say, is he the one that's really the one that's taking this thing and dropping back that many times, understanding that he doesn't have the same skill set of people, to do that constantly.
Yeah.
These are young guys.
No, I hear you. And he's in year number five. So, we expect him to elevate them to a certain point overall. But Don, listen, man, we got to get ready to split. So let me ask you on the way out, one narrative that you're just flat out tired of.
Well, honestly, I love Carson, but I'm tired of him saying I got to do better. I'm sorry.
I said that too, man. And Don, thanks for the call. We said that last week when he said that after the Dallas game. I know I have to do better, and I know I can do better. I just have to simplify things. I have to, stop saying it, man. Just go out there and show us. We're in week number 8 at that point. We don't want to hear that anymore. We want to see you do it. Show and prove. 610-632-0975. Rob, listen, man. I know Tyler told you I was going to squeeze you in before the break. I lied. That's my fault, not him. We'll get to you on the other side. 25 minutes commercial free. 610-632-0975. Brett Favre's comments. Nick Foles was his choice. They should not have moved on from him. I'm tired of talking about Nick Foles. And why did he need to say that? There was no need for him to say that. Yet here we are having to talk about it again. Narratives you're tired of in Philadelphia sports. And Leo DiCaprio's 46th birthday. Ladies, men. Tell us a ladies' man that you know of course, out there as we have our fun tonight on this Wednesday night. 610-632-0975. So far, Billy D. We have more, of course, on the other side here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, Brett Favre was dead wrong for what he did Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10. No business mentioning Nick Foles once again. We didn't need that. We were fine. We already had our own issues at this point with the Philadelphia Eagles as we run until 10 o'clock, 25 minutes commercial free, 610-632-0975. We didn't need that. And yet here we are. So much so that we get a comment on Twitter saying, hey, find something else to talk about. Exactly. Exactly. So when you call in and talk about Brett Favre's comments, we'll play those in a little bit. If you haven't heard them, let us know about narratives that you're tired of in sports as well, and your thoughts on the whole Favre and Wentz thing in general. 610-632-0975. An update with the Russell Westbrook thing. For those who did not hear, right about the start of the show, Shams Charania tweeted out, Rockets, Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston. Okay? Then he follows up and says, Houston's James Harden remains committed to the Rockets and is, quote, locked in, end quote, for the season. Sources tell Kelly Eco, NBA, and me. Here's one question. One question, Rob, and bring this to you first, Rob. At what point do we start to look at James Harden and say, okay, it's you, it's not me? Right? At what point? At what point do we say it's James Harden? Not that it's our problem, because I know people want him here in Philadelphia. But at what point do we sit there and say, all right, we know that Dwight Howard was a little wacky, but then the Chris Paul part, and even though he and Russell Westbrook are tight from their childhood in Los Angeles, now he wants out. Now he wants out. At some point, it's him. Rob, at some point, it's him, right?
What's up, D?
At some point, it's James Harden, isn't it?
You said at what point, huh? How about now?
Right? I mean, look. And, all right, Mike D'Antoni leaves, Daryl Morey leaves. All right, that's not him. But Dwight Howard, and say what you want about Dwight Howard and his wackiness, he was great in that playoff run before they got knocked out. James Harden just didn't come to play. Then when Chris Paul got hurt in game 7 when they were up 3-1, he went like 3 of 27 from 3, right?
It's two things, man. It's for one, from a basketball perspective, it's difficult to play with the guy. And I don't think true basketball players, i.e. Chris Paul, enjoy playing with a guy like that who's so ball dominant and shooting as much. So that's one thing. The other thing is they say the guy got so much control in Houston, man. Like,
he's the general manager.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to play with a guy like that.
I hear you, man. And you're right, man. But people, again, there are people, I'm looking at my Twitter, people want him. Go get him. They want him.
Nah, I'm cool on Jay. This is the thing I didn't call for the Sixers, but this is the thing with Sixers, man. And I asked you this when Brett Brown first got fired. And I said, mm-hmm. If Doc Rivers, Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle, you know, the guy in Boston, Brad Stevenson, if they was the coach, where would the Sixers be at now? And we both kind of agreed.
Further along.
Finals.
Yes.
With the team that they already have. So this is a championship team when you have good coaching. Yeah, they need some tweaks. They need to do some things. But it's already a championship team. We don't need James Harden, man.
Look, if they did it, you understand why they do it. Because
I understand.
You
yeah,
don't
I understand.
Have it. But it's not at the top of my list. You know, we adjust and we say, okay, I get it. I know why they did it. Yeah. It makes sense once you do it. I got it, but it doesn't mean that you want it.
Yeah, totally understand, but, you know, hey. It is what it is.
Yeah, man.
Before you, Brett Favre.
Yes, man. Yes, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is an idiot, man. I don't even know why we entertain this guy. And I think it's a chase of where he's bored. He has nothing to do. So he's on this hot take show. And he probably want to come back on it. That was his first time on it. He may want to come back on the future. He just said something that was outlandish. And I think that's where he got caught up in that. And I don't understand how Doug Peterson gets wrapped up in all this because they best friends.
Because it's his best friend. And he's talking about his quarterback.
Well, over the years, Andy Reid has said some great things about Carson Wentz, and we don't harp on that. It's only because it's negative.
Yeah, because you know it's a negative thing.
It's negative. That's all. It's only because it's negative, man. So I don't take anything Brett Favre say seriously, man. And trust me, after saying that, he'll be back on it before the end of the year. And he'll have a reoccurring role right. A couple times out of the year.
And trust me, like you heard Tyler and I say at the top, I don't care either. But and as far as our job goes, we don't have a choice.
Got to talk about it.
But to talk about it, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it because there was no need for him to do what he did, other than to your point of he wants to possibly be back out there and be back in the limelight. So other than that, you know, whatever, Brett Favre, I wasn't looking forward to finding out what you had to say in the first place.
And that thing came across my phone several times yesterday, and I ain't pay attention to it.
I forgot about it last night, probably on purpose. because we already had a good show going on. So
exactly.
Yeah. But I couldn't ignore it any longer, man. But all right. One narrative you're tired of in Philadelphia sports before you get to the ladies.
I gotta go with our squad and our boys, man. I'm tired of the Simmons and B can't play together.
Ah, love that one. Love that one.
Yeah, I'm tired of that one.
Yeah, because that's not true.
Yeah. We know that's not true.
Yep.
But they'll work it out.
Yep, absolutely. And do you have a ladies' man?
Yeah, my man Don kind of took it from me, but I had a couple of them. But I'm gonna go with the teddy bear, man. TP, man.
Teddy
P. He was the guy growing up, man.
All you got to do is if you don't know about Teddy Pendergrass, go back and listen to Eddie Murphy in Delirious. Throw him on the stage. Rob, thanks for the call, man.
All right, man.
610-632-0975. Teddy Pendergrass. No doubt about it. Teddy P. You say Teddy P, you know what it is. Teddy P. You know about Teddy Pendergrass?
A little bit. I mean, just from Delirious, though.
You've heard it?
Oh, yeah.
You've heard that part?
Yes.
Oh, it's hilarious. Throw him on the stage. Classic.
It's one of, if not the best stand-up routines.
Oh, it's my number one.
Of all time.
My number one.
I mean, it is.
Is my number one.
Still hysterically funny to this day.
Yes, sir. It's my number one. Absolutely. Nothing better. There are some fantastic ones. Richard Pryor. Cat Williams, Martin Lawrence, Rock.
I think what makes that the best out of all, for me personally,
I also like Bill Barlow.
Is every time I go back and watch it, there's a different story or a different section of the routine that I find the funniest.
Oh, I stop.
Like every single time.
Yeah, I stop right. If it's on, I just stop right there. And all right, I'm in. Locked in. Let's do it. Teddy P, great one. 610-632-0975. James in Jersey next on the Fanatic. James, what's going on?
Divine, love the show, man. Love the show, dude.
Jay, thank you.
Listen, real quick. I got to defend Carson. I am sick of the narrative. I said to Tyler calling into the show, how much of Brett is he seeing of himself and Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay, right? Mm-hmm. Where this guy takes over your job, but you feel you still got more in the gas tank and you can do it, but you on another team. You granted he had success with Minnesota. So he should be saying, hey, give this guy a chance. But what you don't realize, D, that really, really gets me for 5 years besides the offensive coordinator, is this guy doesn't have a 1,000-yard running back for 5 years. You give him Nelson Aguilar to throw to. We were talking alligator arms where the most drop passes in the league at one point. Mm. How do you give a guy, your franchise quarterback, that type of receiving? You now have Travis Fulgham. You didn't have this guy last year or the year before. You give him an Alshon
who's a basket case, and you say, this is my franchise quarterback, but this is what you surround this guy with. And now you tell him, be successful. I think that kid's got a lot of heart. You look at Jared out in L.A. They surrounded him. Not only does he have a bona fide defense, he has a bona fide X's and O guy. Remember our guy, Andy Reid. If Andy Reid takes the playbook from you, it's something there, bro. Andy Reid is a true X's and O guy. He takes, you hear the phrase, you put your players in position to make plays. Doug, when I see some of the play calling, the first play of the game, you come out and you throw 90 yards down the field to Jackson. Like, dude, that's the best play you can come out the locker room with? I can't. They need an offensive X's and O's, guys. I think Doug is a great leader of men, but he is not an X's and O guy. And one last comment on this part, D, that's really important. When they say to you guys as reporters, have you ever played the game? I am dying for someone to say, have you ever stood behind a camera? Mm-hmm. Have you ever held a microphone and asked a question? Mm-hmm. We don't have to be players to ask you guys questions, right? Mm-hmm. And that part is where I say for Doug, I don't see how are those guys going out and getting the offensive minds to compliment Carson. They keep allowing this guy to really try. He's trying his tail off to make plays. I think that guy's got a lot of heart, but for 5 years, you have not surrounded him with the right pieces. Therefore, he can't throw the ball and catch it, man. For real? For real.
Yeah, and that's, again, that goes back to the front office, and that gets into a whole nother story, Jay, about what he has missed on in the draft and free agency as well, and helping this team out and surrounding with the right people. All right, listen, man, you've heard us talking about it, and we're talking about one here with Foles and Wentz. Do you have another narrative that you're tired of Philadelphia sports?
I think my man just mentioned it with Ben
and Joe.
And Ben Joe, yeah, that narrative. Those guys can win. They just need the right leadership to lead them to winning.
Nah, got it, man. And do you have a ladies' man on the way out?
Dude, Captain James T. Kirk all over the galaxy. I saw one episode. The person had, I don't want to disrespect anyone, but they had green antennas. And I'm like, Kirk is smooth, man.
Get aliens.
I love your show, man.
Thank
Have
you,
a good
man.
Night,
you
bro.
Too, man. Jay, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. 610-632-0975. Captain Kirk pulling the women. And the aliens, too. Why not? Star Trek. That's a good one, right? He's right.
He's right. And you know what's amazing, too, is it's actually impressive that it happened because William Shatner's acting was terrible. So bad.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Oh, man. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. On this Wednesday night. Again, pouring outside. We think it's still pouring outside. If so, be careful on this Wednesday night, Veterans Day. Again, thank you so much to all the veterans out there for all you have done and continue to do. And we salute you on here on Veterans Day. 610-632-0975. If you're just tuning in, Brett Favre's comments, I think at this point you've all heard at least enough to say that Brett Favre, he said something. Maybe you didn't hear what Brett Favre had to say. Well, he basically said, and we'll play the audio at some point, that during a visit to First Take, and he's sitting there talking about, hey, I would have kept Nick Foles when he's speaking about Carson Wentz. Why, man? Not why would you have kept him. Why did you need to say that? They didn't ask you to say that. You were talking about the quarterback in general and his poor play. Just talk about the poor play. Nick Foles has nothing to do with this in 2020. Talk about Nick Foles with the Chicago Bears, not the Philadelphia Eagles. So we're asking you guys, number one, was he right? But more importantly, are you tired of this Nick Foles thing? I'm sick of it. Nick Foles is a legend here in town. Let that man be. Let Carson Wentz take his own heat for what he is not doing on the field right now has nothing to do with Nick Foles 3 years later. 610-632-0975. Leo DiCaprio's 46th birthday. We're asking for all-time ladies' men. And again, we're not getting crazy here. We're just simply talking about Leo DiCaprio has a reputation of being a ladies' man where ladies find him handsome, right? Find him handsome. We're not saying the other stuff. We're talking about the man being a ladies' man. So far, we've gotten Billy D. Williams, Teddy Pendergrass, Captain Kirk, Derek Jeter from Tyler Zuli. I went with George Clooney. It's a cool dude. And we have some on social media here as well. We'll share those with you as we go along. But we'll take your phone calls. A couple of open phone lines for the first time. 610-632-0975. Check in with us. Let us know what you think. We're talking about it all. The ladies' men, Brett Favre, Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, narratives that you are tired of. And the NBA. Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston. But it seems like James Harden says, I'll stay. At some point, he's the problem, right? Pat and Bluebell next on the Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Hey, you guys still there? Hey, it's Veterans Day. Veterans Day. I didn't see one of your people that called here to represent the veterans that died to make it possible for you to spew the garbage you spew. Oh, it's anti-American garbage, you guys. Yeah, exactly. And it's sickening. It's sickening to everyone.
All right, 610-632-0975. Let's keep it moving. We go to Theo and Delco here on the Fanatic. What's up, Theo?
Hey, what's going on? So a couple of things here first.
First of all, thanks for hanging on, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. I got nothing else to do. I'm waiting for my girl to get off work. I'm sitting in the car.
Got you.
No. One of the things that I did notice is that people are saying they don't care about anything about what Brett Favre says, and I think that's categorically incorrect. And there's two areas where I will exclusively look for his expertise. One, Wrangler jeans. I mean, come on, who else is better? Two, copper fit compression sleeves. Everybody's got to have one of those by now. So he definitely has the market cornered on those two. But, I mean, for someone who is not known as a cerebral quarterback, yeah, forgive me if I just go ahead and pass on your expertise on personnel decisions.
Exactly.
That's really what I meant.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. We didn't need it, and you're right. Go ahead and the Wranglers. Let's just go do it.
Right. And honestly, I think part of this getting blown up is because we don't have the NBA right now. We don't have NHL right now. During the week, without college football and NFL, people are bored. I mean, they're bored, and First Take is taking anybody they can get to talk about stuff right now. So that's kind of what it is. I mean, personally, he's wrong about Foles. Foles had a great year in a system that fit him perfectly. I have said to my Eagles fan friends for a while now, Nick Foles didn't win you the Super Bowl. The RPO did. Nick Foles was just the one who executed the game plan. I mean, it's essentially what happened. And, I mean, yeah. Now, I'm going to bring in a little bit of hockey here because I think I have a pretty good comparison about what Nick Foles was to the Eagles. So, if you remember 2010, mm-hmm. when the Flyers went to the Stanley Cup, there was a little-known goalie named Michael Layton who had a phenomenal run. And everyone thought, oh, man, look, we have our goaltender of the future. Look how well he played. No, he just played out of his mind for 2 months or 6 weeks or whatever it ended up being, and he got them all the way there. Now, Foles got them over the finish line, but, I mean, clearly he's not a very good quarterback as far as the talent or cerebral kind of. He's just not that good, and once people stop giving him starting jobs, I think this whole conversation falls away. So, I mean, once that happens after Chicago, I don't think we're going to have to worry too much about it anymore.
No, and I hear you, and I agree with you, man. I think that's, I mean, look, he hasn't performed that greatly out there in Chicago. He had a couple of good things early on that happened, which is why they kept him in the starting lineup. But since then, he hasn't been great, and he hasn't been great. It's just what it is at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, the epitome of a game manager with awesome weapons, a great coach, great defense. Can he get things done? Can he not screw up too badly to lose you games? Sure. But he's not going to go out there and win you four or five fourth quarter comebacks of 7, 8, 10 points, whatever, in a season. It's just not his skill set.
Got you. All right. Other narratives that you're tired of in Philadelphia sports, Theo?
Again, I'm going to take it more of a hockey direction here. I am sick and tired of people telling me that Claude Giroux is not a good captain. I think, since he was placed in that captaincy role, I think he's done a phenomenal job. I mean, he's an undersized player. People didn't always think he was going to do very well. I think he's done a phenomenal job. I mean, his talent has kind of like faded off a little bit with injuries, but I think he's the right guy to lead the team.
I've defended him on that one, so I like that one. And on the way out, that's a great one, Theo. Give us a ladies' man as well.
So I got two for you. I got Burt Reynolds, if we're doing a throwback.
Burt!
And then I got my man, shirtless Matthew McConaughey. I mean, I don't know if I'm qualified enough because I'm a man over here, but the way the women go crazy about him, he's the one.
Yeah. All right, all right, all right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Make you want to go do some sit-ups, huh? All right. Hey, Theo, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it, man. Good stuff, man. Be safe getting home, you and your girlfriend. 610-632-0975.
Real quick on Claude Giroux since 2010. Fourth in points, eighth in goals, second in assists in the league.
Ah, look at that.
Deserves every bit of the captaincy.
A little bit of a backup there with some stats by Tyler Zuli. John, we start with you. Brett is up after John. And guys, open phone lines for the first time. 610-632-0975. We'll let you hear the audio again. Doug Peterson as well. And Russell Westbrook wants out. That's now three All-Stars that have moved on, or at least in this case, want to move on. And I'm not saying it's because of Harden with Westbrook, but if they're not winning, at what point is it also James Harden too? 610-632-0975. Great scorer. We know that. All accounts, he's a great teammate. But what's the problem? We'll get to it on the other side. And I have a Sixers question about their logo that I need to throw at you. Poll update as well on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
It is 8:30 on this Wednesday night. 97.5, The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you here. Tyler Zuli producing the show. Brett Favre said some things. I didn't like them because I felt there was no need for them at all. If you hadn't heard them, we'll give them to you in a little bit. Doug Peterson as well. And we have some ladies' men in honor of Leo DiCaprio's 46th birthday. Guys, gals, we all know he's a ladies' man. 46 years of age, great actor. All, you know, great actor, great guy, ladies' man. So we're asking for best ladies' men of all time. 610-632-0975. And again, all we're saying is, people like these guys, it's all good. We're not going too far. I give you one on Twitter quickly before we go to John here in Bryn Mawr. We had one that said, let's go to my man Coffee Jones. Coffee says, Coffee is the best. Coffee says, you know, football color analyst. Coffee does everything. Jaws, stuff with Jaws, everything.
Coffee keeps me afloat.
Penn
when
football,
I when
Joe
I produce
Torty.
The Jaws show.
Yes, Coffee's the man.
He's on top of everything. Hey, here's what we're doing.
And
here's
so
who's
versatile.
Calling.
Yes.
On top of everything.
He's on top of everything. By the way, he tweets in, the Eagles call 67% pass plays, 33% run calls, 28th in the NFL. That's the type of stuff you get from Coffee. Then he says, ladies man, Denzel Washington.
It's a good one.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's Coffee. Coffee Jones, at AFL Coffee on Twitter. Go follow him. It's my man. So there you go. That's all we're asking for. Ladies, men. People love these guys. Who are these guys that the ladies love? Ladies, men. 610-632-0975. And again, I have a question about the Sixers logo. All right? We saw the new uniforms. I have a question. I'll give it to you. We have a question. I'll give you a question. John and Bryn Mawr. What's up, Johnny?
My man, Devon, good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while, but it's always great to share the show with you. And you're a great show, and
thank you.
Appreciate you.
Always good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. First of all, let's keep in mind, Nick Foles has never played a full NFL season. So for everyone that wants to say Carson Wentz is injury prone, I get all that. But Nick Foles hasn't played a full 16-game season, and Carson Wentz has done it twice in his career. I'd also like to talk about, it's not exactly that Nick Foles is setting the league on fire. Again, love what he did, legend in this town. I was at the Super Bowl. He will forever be in my debt. I get that. But for people that just don't understand, I'm tired of Carson getting kicked around. I get it. Did he play terribly this year? Absolutely. Has he made terrible decisions? Sure. But would you be making good decisions when you had 27 different offensive line combinations, when your coach refuses to run the football? I don't get it. And look at all the weapons they surround him with and lack thereof. I mean, can you imagine if this team had DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, just to name a few names, the type of receivers that could be with Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you look at the running game, right? Look at the years, right? Carson Wentz, rookie year, right? Had a good year. Typical rookie year, right? Second year, 2017, sets the world on fire. What made that team so successful? Because after two games, after the Kansas City game, when they lost, they came out and said, we need to run the football. And you had LeGarrette Blount, and you had Clement, and you had, you had just three-headed monsters. They were pounding the ball. You know, limit, your quarterback doesn't have to throw the ball 40, 50 times. Now they go out and draft somebody. He's got all this pressure on him. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But the bottom line is this. The coaching is the problem. Okay? Doug Peterson needs to relinquish his play calling duties. He also needs somebody to speak for him at press conferences. Okay? And if he can relinquish his play calling duties, I think this team will be far better. Press Taylor sounds like a nice guy. Not sure he's a good QB coach. Look at what Frank Reich did with Nick Foles during the Super Bowl run. He went back and he looked at all his successful plays in the Chip Kelly offense. Okay, why aren't we doing that? Okay, you play to your player's strengths. It's not all about your system. A lot of times, and then Brett Favre to come out and go, well, I know Doug's offense, and, he puts players in the right position. Really? Because I've looked around, and this is the worst offense in the league. There's no motion. There's no imagination.
Yeah.
There's no creativity.
Yep.
It flat out stinks.
Yeah, and we get sick of it because it seems like, oh, we know what's coming. So when you hear players say, oh, yeah, they knew what we were about to call, we know what they were
exactly
about to do. Yeah, so.
And let me, real quick.
That is frustrating.
I'll go with another one, but Brad Pitt, you know, he's got a great. So you got to go with him. And as far as training for James Harden, you're right. The fact that Westbrook wants out, it's a little, but still. I mean, you know my stance on Simmons, until we get a guard that wants to shoot the basketball, I just don't know. I just don't know. I was all about, people were calling me crazy years ago when I wanted to trade him straight up to Memphis so we could draft John Morant.
Nah, you did. You did, John. I remember. Guess what, man? Seven days.
Who would you rather have, though, Devon? I want your honest opinion. Who would you rather have?
I still like Ben Simmons, but I still like Ben Simmons more. I would rather have Ben Simmons, but I do love Ja Morant, especially with what he did for the team. And listen, that team is not completely built. This one is not completely built, or it was completely built, but built wrongly at this point, where they have to adjust things. But I'm still a Simmons guy, as you know. I love other guys around the league.
You're the best, Devon, because I love your basketball prowess. But Brandon Clark or Matisse Thybulle? Who you take?
Brandon Clark.
Thank you.
And Thybulle is good. So
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, Brandon Clark
like,
is.
If you just look at the total package, like, listen, I know Brandon Clark's the greatest defender. He's a good defender, but his offensive ability to be able to stretch the floor, I mean, he didn't even start for that team, and he was coming up huge, man. I was a huge fan of him. I was hoping they'd take him. And I'm just not sold on, you know, NBA players coming out of the great University of Washington, because the only one of my that's ever panned out is Brandon Roy.
Brandon Roy was the man, John. He was the man. Hey, man, yeah. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon, man. Appreciate it. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. 4 for 4 on Twitter, our guy, 4 for 4 Dom, 4 for 4 podcast says, a Philly narrative I'm tired of. The famous, infamous quote, he's not a Philly guy. So tired of that.
Totally agree.
Why?
Well, because 99.9% of the players aren't from Philly or even the surrounding areas.
Yeah, but you know what they mean.
I know what they mean.
Meaning they take on, you know, our style, our mindset. They seem like one of us.
But they're not. That's the thing.
That's why I said it seems like one of us.
Regardless if they're hardworking, you know, give everything they got, 110% type guys. You know, and we know who all the ones that are routinely called that are.
Philly guy?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Allen Iverson is a Philly guy.
Allen Iverson, Chase Utley.
Brian Dawkins.
It doesn't matter because they are not even remotely us at all. Just their work ethic is.
Yeah, but they take on the personality of the city.
Does anywhere else do that?
We don't care. Why do we care what anybody else does?
It sounds ridiculous.
The only time we care is like when we went on that rant on Friday about why are you talking about Johns when you don't know how to use it.
Yeah, but that's different from it's trying to attach to multimillionaires who are hardworking guys.
But not all of them are. That's the point. Some of them are not. Where you'd be like,
sure.
Yeah, he's not a hard worker. He's not one of us.
No, I get that. And I get that not all of them are hardworking, but I'd love to go up to New York.
And you guys saw me. Well, you saw me. I responded to Dom and said, is Jason Babin a Philly guy? He had great stats, but he wasn't a Philly guy. He wasn't that type of dude. He was a different dude. He wasn't one of us. He was never one of us.
I think it's such a made-up concept. It's ridiculous. It sounds bad.
I disagree with both of you. I do. He's not one of us. Like, who was it that I can't remember. I went off one day. This is when I first started being able to host on a regular basis. And there was someone, and we were talking about being a Philadelphia person. And I remember, you know how I always say, that's our guy. You can't talk about them. We can get on Ben Simmons. We can. Like John was talking about. John can get on Ben Simmons. Why? Because Ben Simmons is one of us. So since he's one of us, we can attack Ben Simmons. But Max Kellerman, I will come at you. I will come for you if you come at Ben Simmons. Why? Because you're not one of us. He is. We can attack him because we know he's good, but he still gets on our nerves. Brett Favre can't say a word about Carson Wentz, even though some people think Brett Favre is correct. But Brett, you can't talk about Carson Wentz. Like you said, you don't care what Brett Favre had to say about Carson Wentz because you don't care what Brett Favre had to say. But people look at it and say, because that's our guy, I will defend him to the death. Don't you dare talk about my quarterback because Carson Wentz is one of us.
I think that conversation is different than Philly guy.
But Carson Wentz is, to some, a Philly guy. Because he does work hard.
Sure he works hard.
Forget about the interceptions and all that stuff and the silly decisions that he makes. Hard worker, tough. No?
But I feel like we only put that designation on athletes. Like,
well, we can't go and talk politicians and be like, oh, well, he's a Philly guy, even though he came from somewhere else. We don't know.
Right, that's what I'm saying is, whether it be politicians, musicians, just anybody in the right, because we can't really do that with the people that have the important jobs, right? The teachers, the doctors.
We know what sports is. It's a sport. It's a game. So all of these, Tyler, we're doing a talk show every night about sports.
No, I get, but we're like.
Because it's kind of like it's not real, but it's real.
But we're attaching this fake mantra to a bunch of guys that are not
so within Allen the same Iverson, realm as Chase us. Utley and Brian Dawkins wouldn't be considered as, oh, that guy could have grown up here.
Sure, but
anybody could have grown up here, but he fits with who we are.
Yeah, I just think it's a. I think it's overplayed.
Okay. All right. By the way, Jason Babin hated him. I didn't care how many sacks he had. That was one of those guys I'd never attached myself to. All right, cool. You got a sack. Yay. Go line up again and do it again. That's it. That's it. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens. With you until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zuli producing the show wrong about the Philly guy.
Narrative. That's not true!
Along with Dom. Let's go to Brett in Quakertown. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Devon, how you doing?
How you doing, man? Do you agree with Tyler, or are you more along the lines of what I'm saying?
What was the last thing you said? Because I zoned out for a second.
We're talking about the narrative of he's not a Philly guy. That was from Dom.
Oh, yeah. I don't put much... Look,
we don't put much into it. I know that, but you know, it is said, and many of us say it.
Well, I respect anything that comes from like an intellectual perspective. So when I hear Brett Favre give a point like that, I think to myself, was he a highly cerebral quarterback, or was he an instinctual quarterback?
Right.
I know that he was an instinctual quarterback who displayed many of the same inconsistencies we're seeing with Wentz right now, so I don't take anything he says seriously. But if he wasn't from Philly and he had an intellectual argument to make, I would listen to it, you know? But in my opinion, he's just spewing nonsense, and he really doesn't know what he's talking about. And as far as Wentz is concerned, I mean, I'm not like a really knowledgeable guy when it comes to football. I can just like view what I see on the screen from play to play. And as long as I see him putting out the effort, then I'll have his back right up until they take the jersey off.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I can't judge him on like individual plays because I don't know that much about play calling, offensive coordination, but I see him pouring his soul out on the field.
Yeah, he does. He plays hard, and that's one thing that we don't question him or question with him with the things that he's not doing great right now. We don't question if he is giving it his all. We're saying sometimes he's giving so much of his all that it's to the detriment of the team because he's doing too much.
No
he's trying too hard. He's playing maybe within his character, but outside of what needs to be done for the team.
Yeah, as long as nobody questions his dedication and we're just talking about like the play calling and the intelligence of the decision-making on the field because nobody should be questioning his ethics on the field, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, man, since we're talking about this, you know where we are in terms of our conversations overall. So we're asking extra things here tonight, the Philly narrative outside of Foles and Wentz, a Philly narrative that you're tired of.
A Philly narrative that I'm tired of.
Like, we already have Ben and Joel can't play together. Claude Giroux is not a good captain.
Well, the narrative I'm tired of hearing of is Foles having been the better selection over Wentz, given what we knew at the time. Because where did he go right after that? The Jaguars?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, did he do anything there?
No, he didn't. But to be fair, he did bust up his collarbone. He was all busted.
True, and that can happen to anybody.
And then when his backup came in, he played well, and you know they decided to stick with Gardner. And he was cheaper.
I got to look at the season directly after the decision was made to stick with Wentz and say, what did we miss out on? You know, not much, I don't think.
Listen,
but he still has my respect.
I'm with you. And do you have a ladies' man on the way out, Brett?
Oh, yeah, I got one. 1930s John Wayne from Stagecoach.
John Wayne, no doubt about
there you
it.
Go.
Brett,
early
thank you.
John
you
Wayne.
Got it, man. Appreciate it. John Wayne, that's a no doubt about it. John Wayne, that's a good one. I like that one. By the way, Dom checks in. Back here on Twitter, again, good friend to the show, checking in with us on Twitter about the Philly guy thing. He started it. He says, Chris Long, LOL, Chris Long and Connor Barwin aren't Philly guys either, meaning from Philly, yet they are quote unquote Philly guys in the eyes of the fans. Yeah, because they are tough guys, right? Then you have the other ones that decide to stick around and live here, and you're like, yeah, he's one of us. Bottom line, like Tyler, he thinks it's silly, even though he's the one that started it.
It's not silly to say that they enjoy their time here and recognize what a great city Philadelphia is and have children and raise families and get married and all and stay and root their families in Philadelphia. Mm. That's not silly to say. That's a great honor to be part of a city that is loved by its athletes because they understand, you know, what the city is and what we are as fans. What I think is silly is the he's a Philly guy during his playing time.
Yep. No, I got you. I got you. I still think, you know, wrong, but I got you. 610-632-0975. If you haven't heard, by the way, Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston. After all the changes, Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, gone. Steven Silas coming in as the head coach, young guy, first opportunity to be the head coach with his own gig, not as an interim. They champion the move, new general manager, all of that. But now he wants out, according to Shams Charania. And I'm not asking you if you want Russell Westbrook because I think I know where most people will go. No, and I agree with you. I like Russell Westbrook from afar. Sometimes he gets on my nerves. That being said, followed up, Shams saying James Harden decided that he wants to stay in Houston. He's committed to what the Houston Rockets are doing with owner Tillman Fertitta. That's smart for him because I don't think he would have the freedom in all the other places that he could potentially end up. At some point, it's going to be James Harden, though. Some point. 610-632-0975. Sixers question as well. 9 o'clock hour about the logo. I have a question. Just a question. Dan in West Deptford. What's up, Dan?
Yo, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Dan, I got you loud and clear, man. How's everything?
All right. I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Thank you.
Good. I just, first off, with Brett Favre, man, he's just the kind of guy, almost like a Terrell Owens or guys like that, that just need that little bit of attention to keep him going another year or two. So he goes out. Of course, he's got to say something inflammatory about Foles and Wentz just to get the people talking about him a little bit. I just Googled him, and the first thing that comes up is a picture of Carson. So, of course, Favre's got to do that. And I'm just looking at his numbers here. So he becomes a full starter in 92. Interceptions in the first 10 years, 8 years. 13, 24, 14, 13, 13, 16, 23, and 23. That's 8 years of football, about 130 interceptions.
Yeah, so, he was a risk taker. Yep, we know.
So you think he would almost be someone that would support somebody like Wentz, because when you break down Wentz, man, there's the rookie year, whatever. The second year is amazing. The third year is wonky. He's got to leave end of the season with the back. The fourth year, he had absolutely nothing, and he drugged that team to 9-7. He beat the Cowboys at home with Goddard as his best weapon, maybe his only weapon. And we're here where we are now, but he's just trying way too hard, man. If he just could relax and get a little bit of rhythm, you see Brady playing, you see Mahomes playing, it's rhythm, man. It's like 1-2-3, ball somewhere. This guy's open. 1-2-3, boom, I'm going to hit him. And it just seems like he's straining way too hard. If he just can relax, man, the guy still has a bunch of talent, a bunch of promise. I think people need to just chill out, man. Like, just chill out.
Yeah.
Win the division. They're going to get a home playoff game. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think they are going to win in division. It's going to be tough. This game is not easy this weekend. I know that for sure, Dan. We know.
I know. I think it's going to be close.
The Giants play tough, man. So we'll see how that one goes. But in general, we still believe they have a very good chance of winning this division, hosting a playoff game. They need him to really, really turn things around in the second half. He's going to get the reinforcements back with these weapons coming back, both offensive line, defensive side of the football, of course, with Sanders and Jeffrey returning as well. Ertz at some point, I think after week 11, Ertz can come back. They're going to be fine, we think, but it's really up to him. And that his play will stop all of this at this point.
Yeah. It's funny, man. You think to 2017... it was like we took it for granted, man. It was like 4 touchdowns a game, no picks. We're blowing teams out. When's the last time the Eagles blew somebody out?
You know what, Dan? We were talking about this earlier in the season. I'm like, when are we going to get that complete game where we finally see them just beat somebody? And I thought it was going to be against the Giants, and the Giants almost won that game. So there's that, man. But did you want either of the narratives or ladies' men? Did you want to throw one at us?
Yeah, I was thinking about them, yeah. The narrative, I think, I'm mostly focused on the Eagles, is that we made this huge mistake taking Rager, and we should have took Justin Jefferson. It's way too early.
Ooh.
Jefferson looks good, but Rager hasn't really played much yet. And Rager could be your Tyreek Hill for 7-8 years, and you see what that can do for an offense. So I think people need to chill out on that.
Okay.
you know, Jefferson's good, but we'll see. And then ladies' man, I was trying to think of, like, an older one, but then I just was reading a couple days ago. My man Meek Mill got a couple notches on the bedpost. And
that's what we would kind of stay away a little bit from that with Dan. But thanks for the call, appreciate it, man. All right, we come back. Sean, Chuck, Eric, Alex, thanks, Dan. We really appreciate it. We come back 9 o'clock hour, 25 minutes commercial free here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is 9:01 on this Wednesday night. Happy Veterans Day again to all the vets out there. Thank you so much for your service. And once again, we salute you. So thank you to all that are listening. We know that you are. Appreciate, would let you know that we appreciate you for all that you have done. We are broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, talking about Brett Favre's comments about Carson Wentz. And quickly, before we get to Sean and Chuck and Alex and Eric, two open phone lines as we go until 10 tonight, and I will give you my Sixers logo thoughts in a minute. Tyler, you mind? Let's run Brett Favre one more time and what he had to say on First Take yesterday about Carson Wentz, and sparked up this whole thing about Wentz and Foles.
I actually thought that they should have kept Nick Foles rather than Carson Wentz, just based off of production and where they got to. You know, they won a Super Bowl with Foles, and that was a little bit surprising. But they're obviously banking on his upside. How many more years do you – you let it linger before you stick with him or you cut bait? That's a question they only can answer. But I know Doug, of course, we were together for a long time. He's a very simple coach. He's going to put you in the best possible opportunity to succeed. He's not going to complicate things. So I know it's not Doug.
All right, again, on First Take as a guest. And all right, simplifying things, okay, that's fine, but sometimes we want him to get a little more creative. That's just me. If Brett Favre was the quarterback at that time with the Green Bay Packers, a backup came in and won, let's say Doug Peterson went on to win, would he feel the same way? That Doug Peterson should have kept the job and they should have moved on from him? I don't think so. I really don't. No, I don't think he would have. Quite honestly, heck no. When they drafted Aaron Rodgers, he didn't like that. So, I mean, the one thing that I agree with him on is if Wentz starts to go the other way, which he already has a little bit, and people still believe him, myself included, that there is something that he can come back to. Will he get back to 2017? I've allowed myself to understand that that may not happen. All right, I'm not banking on that happening. But what I do believe is he can be better than what we've seen so far this season with these 12 interceptions, 4 fumbles, 16 turnovers leading the NFL. He's better than that. Right now, he's just an average quarterback in the NFL. And that's him. It also plays a part with Doug Peterson. But right now, he's an average quarterback in the NFL. Never did I think I would say that about Carson Wentz. But I am not where Brett Favre is, and I'm sick of this whole thing with Nick Foles. I'm tired of that conversation. I am. I'm tired of it. I'm mad that Brett Favre brought it up. I'm sick of it. 610-632-0975. We'll get an update in a couple of minutes from our Twitter poll, and then, of course, we'll shut it down at the end of the show to give you our final poll results. Let's go to Sean in Atlanta. We're also asking you for narratives in Philadelphia sports that you are tired of outside of Wentz, Foles, but also we're asking Leo DiCaprio's 46th birthday. Ladies, men. Ladies, men. That's all. Ladies love them. Who are they? Let's go to Sean in Atlanta next on the Fanatic. Sean, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great, Devon. How you doing? Calling from Atlanta.
What's going on out there in ATL?
Hey, man, ain't not much during this pandemic season.
That's right.
Know?
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you for voting for Joe Biden for Pennsylvania. I came through.
Well, I'm sure, you know, people in Atlanta did their part as well. But, you know, thank you.
Yeah. But I want to talk about what y'all haven't talked about with Wentz. It looks like he's playing football with a concussion. You know, against that Dallas game, was 4th and 3 when Ray was open,
mm-hmm.
going through the middle, and Ward was open. He looked at him, but didn't throw them the ball.
I don't know. I wonder, Sean, if it's more of a trust thing than anything. I mean, I've never thought about, maybe he's playing hurt, but I never thought concussion.
And it's what Doug and Howie's not telling you why they drafted Jason Hurt on the second round.
Because of an injury?
Howie said Super Bowl factory for quarterback.
That was ridiculous.
But maybe they knew something about Carson Wentz having concussions. There have been games where Peter's like, get him out. Now, we know about the concussions that are reported, but we may not know about concussions in the game. And it looks like he just doesn't trust what he sees out there. He makes great throws. You know, that great throw against the Giants was a dart. That great throw against the San Francisco was a good play. But it looked like he doesn't trust his eyes. And to me, it looked like he's playing concussion syndrome.
This is where we go a little bit too deep, Sean, in my opinion, diagnosing him with a concussion when we don't know that. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say that when I have no idea that is necessarily the case. I don't. I mean, it's hard for us to say that. The only time we can say that, of course, is if he gets hit in the head and he might seem a little woozy walking to the wrong sideline or trying to get himself together when he does get to the sideline, something like that. But for me, it's a tough reach for me to say something like that when we don't know that for sure.
I'm calling from Atlanta, so I'm calling from afar. So
that's all right, man.
I don't
listen,
watch every play.
No, and that's cool, man. Listen, thanks for the call, ATL. Stay safe out there. Really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Eric in Hatboro talking about this thing with Brett Favre and the Philly guy stuff that Dom and Tyler sparked up a couple minutes ago, let me throw this at you about the Sixers logo real quick. Eric, Mike, Chuck, Alex, Tyler, 2 open phone lines, 610-632-0975. After that, we'll get the poll update. Have you noticed last year when they went with the cream uniforms, right? And we started to see that 7-6, that was a little bit different. And now when they bring these City Edition uniforms, the black ones with the red, blue, white, the 7-6 is like that alternate logo, right? I like it. If you saw the photos from yesterday and you saw the floor, that floor is dope. I can't wait to see that floor when they lay that one down at the center when the season starts. That 7-6 that they have in there is tough. I love it. I actually have one of the cream sweatshirts from the cream, right? The uniforms, the theme, and the sweatshirt, the 7-6 is tough. Tyler, didn't we just get a shirt? The cream, the summer Sixers one? Did it have the 7-6 on that one?
The summer 76 one, I don't that was, think oh, it
that,
did.
Right, that was in the writing, like cursive. But I like that 7-6. Is
the,
that
the mask does, though.
Yes, the mask.
It's kind of like it, right it yeah.
Is that the... They trying to sneak that logo in there?
I think they should.
You like it better than the normal go back to the old?
Yes.
Really?
I do. I think it's a little cleaner. I think it pops a little more.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm in on that one.
So I have a black sweatshirt with the 7-6 like that on there. Tough. I'll show it to you. I have the cream one with the 7-6 on there. Also tough. I thought they should have went with like navy blue. But that 7-6?
The navy blue.
Hmm. We haven't seen that one.
So even a little darker than the blue they use now.
As the alternate. As not as the alternate, but one of these special city edition or retro ones. Because you know that we're going to get another one. Because it's the Memphis just released theirs, the Grizzlies.
Memphis is nice.
The old school one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the old school one is tough.
Unlike Milwaukee.
That's brutal. You showed me that one. That one's not that great. that was not that great. So they're celebrating their 20th season, Memphis is, and they bring back the old jerseys that started things off when they were in Memphis, not in Vancouver, the classic edition. So I'm thinking that the Sixers are going to get the classic edition because last year we saw again, and the year before that, we saw other ones that were the ones that we've seen in the past that they bring back, and that's why we thought we were going to get the 2001 version. Instead, we got this newer one, which again has grown on me. You like that logo better?
Yeah, I do.
Think they should?
I think so.
I like it. I like it. I love the old one because it's the old one. It's the retro one. And it fits now because they keep doing different things to the uniform, the logo. They do certain things. It fits. Then you get to the playoffs. They change it up with the snake and all, right? I like that 7-6.
I will tell you this, too, with the new Memphis jerseys. I think they're really nice. I know that I'm not alone in this. I am one of the people that say that Vancouver throwback jersey, not just in the NBA.
The one that they wore last year, the teal one.
All professional sports.
What?
It is the best jersey in sports.
The teal one?
Yes.
Of all time?
Currently being used.
Currently being used. Because you can go with the traditionals like Boston, which I hate the Celtics, but that green Celtics is a classic and it's great.
Oh, it's a nice jersey.
Although I hate them, that's a great jersey.
It's one of the things that a lot of the old school teams did right, not just in the NBA, but I think across most sports. Because when we talk about some of the best jerseys.
That is a great one.
Toronto Maple Leafs come up, right? Montreal Canadiens come up. They're...
You're talking about the traditional
original six,
the blue and then the blue and the red with the Canadian.
Right.
Okay.
Yankees pinstripes has always been clean.
Yeah. Dodgers, Cubs, although the Cubs should never put the name on the back of your jersey, but it's okay. I don't mind that.
You know what I mean? Like these, maybe because we don't see.
That's a good point, though. You think that's the best uniform or jersey
out there
right now?
Yes.
Interesting. All right, guys, you heard Tyler. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Eric, Tyler, can you give us a poll update as we talk about these narratives in sports, starting with Brett Favre saying this nonsense about Foles should have been the court. It's 3 years later, man. Give it up. Why are we talking about this, Ty?
Yeah, so the question is tonight, there are a ton of those tiresome narratives or there were, because we have a couple of older topics in this poll as well. So which one is or was the worst at the time that it was talked about? And, of course, you can write us in. We've gotten quite a few write-ins so far, Devon. So, but we have 930 votes on this one. You got about a half an hour left to vote on the poll. Your options are the Wentz-Foles debate, the Mutombo-Ratliff debate, trading up for Marcus Mariota, or the Hinkie-Colangelo saga. Like I said, 930 votes on this one. 71% of the people say the current Wentz-Foles debate is the worst one. Yes. 17% say trading up for Mariota. 9% say Hinkie-Colangelo. Just 3% say Mutombo and Ratliff.
Yeah, but that was a big deal at the time. At the time, it was a big deal.
I got to take your word for it because I was 8.
It was a big deal. It was like, all right, we know about Mutombo, but wait a second. Theo's an all-star too. We know his hand is broken. They said he might be able to come back in the playoffs. That was something. That was something. All right, vote 97.5 The Fanatic. We have about 40 minutes left. Well, 35 minutes left before it all shuts down. 610-632-0975. A lot of college football games postponed or canceled too, man. LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ohio State, Maryland, Georgia, Missouri, Texas A&M, Tennessee.
And that Ohio State, Maryland game, by the way, unlike a lot of these so far, is canceled. That's not postponed.
Canceled.
Yes.
Canceled. Canceled. The other four that I mentioned, postponed. 610-632-0975. Eric in Hatboro, thanks for hanging on. E, how you doing?
Good, Devon. I agree with Tyler, too. That Vancouver Grizzlies jersey is the hottest jersey in all of sports, I believe.
I love it, but I'm trying to think. Tyler had this already ready to go. So now I'm trying to think about all of the jerseys out there in all of the sports to see if he and you, E, are right.
Right. But when it comes to the Philly guy thing, I agree with you. I think Tyler's looking too deep into it. Whenever I heard that saying go around or I used it, it was strictly how these players performed on the court or on the field. You know, Trotter's a Philly guy. Iverson's a Philly guy. And it's just about the way they play. You know, it's nothing about any of the outside things. It's strictly, you know, they're a beast on the field, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you know, you know. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to describe. But, like, once you see a Philly guy, like, you know it's a Philly guy, you know?
Yeah, you can kind of, right away, you're like, oh, he's one of us. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, he's one of us.
Kyle Lowry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's actually one of us. So
right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I got it, man. But when we bring up the example of Allen Iverson or Brian Dawkins, Chase Utley, and Brian Westbrook, you think about that, Hugh Douglas, Jeremiah Trotter, all these names that we run through and be like, yeah, they are one of us.
Right, I totally agree. With the whole Brett Favre press conference thing, what I got out of it was when the reporters were asking the questions, right? I didn't think any of them going into that press conference knew that Doug Peterson was going to give such a wild answer, right? So throughout, as they asked it the first time, the second time, you could kind of see that, like, as a reporter, this would be a huge, you know, be a big story. But it was kind of like the reporters, you know, the Eagles fan in them came out because it's like they didn't want this to happen because they knew it'd be such a distraction. And, like, you can hear that on the third reporter's voice. Where
that was actually Rob Motti.
Please, Rob Motti, please, Doug, you know, confirm it right now. You do not think that Nick Foles should be here. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like pleading with Doug. Yo, say the right thing, please, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's incredible that he really, like, would not answer that. And then finally, I don't know if someone was in his ear or what, like, but, you know, he finally said, all right, I gotta do something here. But, yeah, I mean, I always thought Doug Peterson was dope. And nobody, like, tells him what to say or what not to say going into these press conferences. Like, that had to be the most important question, you know, going into it, that, yo, Doug, you got to get your answer straight for this question because this is the biggest thing happening right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep. No question, man. And on the way out, did you have a narrative that you're tired of in Philadelphia sports?
Well, the one to go on with the, what was it? The act.
The ladies' man. Yeah.
Right. I was watching a movie with my girl the other night on Netflix about Ted Bundy, and Zac Efron plays it. And I always looked at him as, like, the ultimate ladies' man, you know what I mean? Movie star.
Yeah.
And it was weird watching him in that Ted Bundy movie.
I saw that movie too, yeah.
You know what I mean? It made him look kind of suspect.
But, yeah. And
I've always looked at him.
That's a good one. That's a good one. E, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. And, yeah, Zac Efron, and, of course, what was High School Musical? I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, my daughters watched that one. And then to see him grow up into an adult and ladies still follow his career. Yeah, ladies, man.
So it's funny with him because I was right in that age group where, like, was the demographic for High School Musical, mm-hmm. right? So for the longest time, I could not picture him as anything but Troy Bolton. It took me way too long, like way past when High School Musical was done, to like realize that, yeah, this guy is actually a good actor and does a lot of really big roles and has a lot of different range to him other than just, you know, the singing basketball star.
Yeah. And I always love these, right? Where, you know how you watch a movie or a TV show and they're playing sports and you're like, Yeah, you shouldn't be trying
have
to bounce
you ever
basketball.
Played sports ever?
You shouldn't. Leo. DiCaprio.
In Basketball Diaries. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not like, good. The ultimate one is.
Not good, my man.
I'm sure you've seen it across Twitter or something. And I forget what show it is, but the girl walks onto the field and the guy's like dropping back to you know, throw a pass.
Yeah.
And he his arm, I don't understand how he doesn't have like UCL surgery because his arm is like sideways.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Wow. Yeah, I look at those. I'm like, jeez. Yeah, Zac Efron, not a good basketball player. What was the other dude's name? The curly-haired one. The black kid. What was
his name? That was Corbin Blue, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's his name. Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't do, he couldn't pull it off either. They were all terrible. All of them. Let's go back to gym class and don't show us you trying to bounce basketball. Alex in Germantown. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Ed Devon, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to chime in a little bit on, I guess, the topics you guys are talking about. I'll start with the Philly guy thing. I definitely agree with you. I think for me, when you think of a Philly guy, like Philly is a blue collar town, right? So you want someone that's going to work hard for you on the field. That's why when Wentz is messing up, everyone is on him because like you can do better. So like that's always like that blue collar mindset. When you see that on the field, someone's going to lay out all day, every play for you, for your team. That's a Philly guy to me. So that's kind of what I think of when I think about a Philly guy.
Okay, yeah. And listen, a lot of people, I think most agree on what it is, especially if you feel like it is, you know, that exists, a Philly guy that's not here from our town. But when, again, you know, with Tyler and Dom, to their point, You can look at it the other way. So I understand.
Yeah, to me, it's not about money. It's about, I think Eric might have said, it's about your play on the field. And then this whole Wentz Foles thing, for me, is like, we have such recency bias with Foles. I think that's really what it is, because when you look back at Foles' career overall, when has he ever put together a full, complete season? Never. Right, like his numbers are just comparable to Wentz, and he's moved from place to place to place. He was almost out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see how people are comparing him to Wentz when no one ever really considered him as a franchise quarterback.
And it's just like, again, we don't know. We have no idea what he would look like in different places. We have no idea what he would look like outside of here. Well, we do, because he didn't really succeed where him having the success that he had in winning that Super Bowl. We don't know if it was going to work out here. There are so many unknowns with all of this stuff. We have no clue.
Exactly.
We have no clue. All right, on your way out, do you have a narrative you're tired of in Philadelphia sports and a ladies' man?
Definitely the Wentz Foles for me is I'm done with that. Now, ladies' man, I think George Clooney for me is probably the one that I think.
That was my choice as well. Yep. Alex, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. That was mine as well. Right. You got it, man. Have a good night. 610-632-0975. Mike, Jay, Donald, on the other side, you wrap things up for us here on the show. We will wrap up these things that we've been talking about with Wentz and Foles and Favre and Doug and James Harden says he wants to stay. Russell Westbrook says he wants out. At some point, do we ask, is James Harden a problem? Can anybody play with him? Someone asked that, right? And then I saw my friend Michael Lee, we brought up from The Athletic, now with The Washington Post. Is there an ideal running mate for James Harden? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? All right, we'll get to you on the other side. Final segment, Devon Givens. Till 10, here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, final segment here on this Wednesday night, 97.5 The Fanatic again. Thank you again to all the veterans out there on Veterans Day. Thank you so much. And once again, we salute you. 610-632-0975. A lot of people to get to here. Guys, we are a week away. 1 week away from the NBA draft. How about that? I mean, this whole thing is all wild, but we are 1 week away from the draft. Love it. So next week, in the middle of the week, when we're transitioning from Giants to Browns, and you know how that goes. We talk about the birds all week. Guys, we're going to have something else to talk about. Draft. NBA draft. Sixers. New uniforms. Love it. And then Friday, free agency. It's crazy. 9 days away. Love it. Let's get ready for it. Mike and Creekside. What's up, Mike?
Oh, how you doing tonight, Devon?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
All right. This really wasn't supposed to be Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz. It was more supposed to be Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson's feelings toward Carson Wentz, you know, and which is just another brick in the wall from, you know, like what I've been saying before, is that it doesn't seem like Doug has Carson Wentz value in his own mind.
Yeah.
And he's trying to sabotage him. So it wasn't Nick Foles' situation, I think, is old and dead, but it's how this coach and play caller thinks about his star quarterback, you know.
Well, yeah, and you know what, Mike, and you know, we're going to play the audio as well with what he had to say in his media availability today via Zoom call, because there have been those questions of, does he really like him? Does he have his back? And all of those things, and you can really question. You didn't understand his, the way he responded just wasn't right today,
Mike. Yeah, it was like pulling eye teeth, you know, and like he, you know, I've heard it, but I'm not going to try to give it away. But it was like he was, you had to pull an eye tooth to get an answer.
Yep. Yep. I agree with
that's
you.
All I'm not going to hang on. You can get to it. But like I said, it's more about how does the coach feel about his starting quarterback?
Yeah. And you wonder, was Brett Favre telling us something?
Yes. Mike,
from his best friend who happens to be the head coach of that quarterback. So
yes, that's what the whole thing is. His attitude toward his quarterback. As I said earlier, is it professional or is it personal?
Mm-hmm.
And then now you got to worry about that. Cuz then for people that, like me, that loves the team, now does it start causing difficulty in the locker room?
Listen, I don't think it needed to be Brett Favre for that locker room. Mike, thanks for the call to understand maybe what the head coach, how he already feels about the quarterback. So, Don, Jay, Mike, let's hear Doug Peterson quickly about which one is this, with Tim first?
So this is, we're going to run them in order. This is the first question and answer.
From Tim McManus.
I believe so.
Doug, Brett Favre offered the opinion yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And, you know, his comments arguably offer, you know, have a little bit more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion. You know, I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him, and he's entitled to that. And that's about it.
Yeah, he could have answered that a little better. Could have answered that a little better with how his friend spoke about his franchise quarterback. Could have answered that one a little better. Let's go to the next one with Les Bowen.
Hi, Doug. Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know, and I'll leave it at that.
You don't have to leave it at that. I don't agree with him. Yes, that's his opinion. Number one, he did not say that to me. Everyone in here knows we're tight. He did not say that to me. While that's his opinion, I disagree. Carson is our guy. Carson is my guy. I have complete faith in Carson to get things right, lead us to the postseason, and we'll see what happens there. That's all he had to say. Real simple. Really, really simple. Let's go to the final one with Rob Motti trying to help him clean things up.
Doug, before it gets blown out of proportion and everyone runs with, Doug didn't support Carson today and he stood by what Brett Favre said. Just want to give you a final opportunity to clarify. Those were Brett's thoughts. They weren't your thoughts. When the decision had to be made in the organization, even though personnel decisions like that are usually tough, it probably wasn't that difficult for you guys. Was anyone beating down the door to do a different thing?
With in regards to Nick,
in terms of keeping Nick over Carson?
No, Carson's our guy. Carson's our draft pick. Carson's the guy that is going to carry us and lead this football team. And listen, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Howie's words, Jeffrey's words. Those are his words. I mean, that I respect that opinion. Whatever he wants to say, that's fine. And we're going to remain friends. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. All I know is that Carson Wentz is our guy. And it's my job to get Carson Wentz to play better, to do better, to help this football team win, as it is to get everybody else to play better. And so, again, I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. And Carson's our guy. Bottom line, end of story.
Why couldn't he say that at the top when Tim asked him about this thing? Great question by Rob, Les, and Tim McManus. Why not just say that at the top, right? Why not? End the story after that. They can ask anything else, and he's like, "Yo, I answered that already. That's my guy. That's my guy." Donald in Lansdowne. Don, what's going on?
Yeah, I think Peterson told on himself with the first two reporters.
He could have answered that one very easily and ended it.
Exactly, and that's why I'm tired of this Philadelphia narrative of him taking up for Wentz during the press conferences after a loss. I mean, from a guy who used to be an ex-quarterback, I don't understand why Wentz is okay reading the front seven of defenses, but when it comes to the secondary, he can't read safeties. Most of his interceptions are thrown in the double coverage or the safety coming over the top making a play.
Is he not reading it right, or is he just trying to do that hero stuff that we talk about often where he tries to fit it in there when there's nothing to really fit?
He's letting them become aggressive, but then at the same time, during the press conferences, both of them say, "I'm only trying to get what the defense gives us." That's a lie, because first of all, this third and five, why are you throwing a 30-yard pass?
Sometimes I don't mind those if you see something and you feel like it's open. But then there are those other times where you're right, you take those shorter ones. I agree with you.
He's not accurate enough for him to be aggressive in every game.
I agree.
Peterson threw the towel in after the Cincinnati game. I mean, you start the season out with a loss to Washington. You know, his head has not been in this season for some reason. I think Peterson is just talking nice about the guy, and I think he's done. I really believe that.
Who, Peterson?
No, Wentz.
Wentz, you think he's done?
Yes, I believe he's done.
This is who he is. He's not going to get any better.
No, I didn't say that. The guy is a good quarterback. You just got to put him in the right system. He can't fit in this system because he's not willing to listen to the coaches. Maybe they need to put him in a better team with a better defense and a better offensive players around him in order for him to succeed.
Listen, man, there's so many things. I do think, I agree with you that I don't think he listens to them enough. with what they are asking him to do. And I also think on the other side, Don, that Doug doesn't do his part either to make things simpler for him.
The whole thing is messed up.
I think it's both of them, honestly.
Your coach is an ex-quarterback. You mean to tell me they can't read secondaries?
They should be able to.
Exactly.
They should be able to. Don, give us a narrative you're tired of in Philadelphia sports and the ladies' man.
Well, like I said, I'm tired of Peterson taking up excuses for Wentz, and I'll just go with Eddie Murphy.
Ladies' man. Eddie. All right. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Eddie Murphy. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. We got to get some of these on Twitter as well because we have a lot of them. Jay in Cheltenham, though, next. What's up, Jay?
Big guy. What's going on, Devon?
Jay, what's happening, man? How you doing?
What's going on, bro? I haven't talked to you in a minute. So I think he I got a little bit more clarity after you played the pieces just now.
Yeah, so maybe I didn't do a great enough job explaining it, and then it kind of went another way. You know, sometimes that happens.
So I think here's the thing, even giving it to you from a Cowboys fan perspective,
mm-hmm.
I think that when Nick Foles came in to spell Carson Wentz and the Birds went to the bowl and took it, I feel like there was so much euphoria right there between Doug being able to call plays the way he wanted and a quarterback who could execute it the way he wanted, in a way that elevated the entire team, not just the offense, not just the defense, the special teams, the coaching, it all came together. And I saw the quarterback position. I saw Nick Foles being able to execute throws and make plays, and Doug with this freedom to call plays that he would never call. It seemed like he had Carson in a straitjacket with his play calling all that year, even when you guys were like tearing up the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
But then it seemed like when Nick Foles came in, he took every restriction off. The offense was free, and I had never seen the offense flying like that. Not even in terms of points scored, but just in terms of like the way the offense was getting into a rhythm. Because if I remember specifically, the Birds was one of the worst teams in the league in terms of like first quarter scoring, first half scoring.
Yes.
All of a sudden, when Nick Foles came in, receivers that wouldn't even get a look from Wentz, all of a sudden, he was hitting everybody, getting 10 different receivers involved. So I think Doug knows that. Doug knows that. And he's like, look, I got some restrictions with this dude, number 11 at quarterback, that I didn't have when I had Foles. I could open it up with Foles.
Yeah, and you're probably right with that. But I also wonder, you know, with the athleticism that Wentz had, you know, it's kind of going away a little bit. But, he kind of gets lost in that and thinking that I can just open things up a little bit more in a different way where I can allow him to do this, he can do that, because he can run, where Foles was more stationary, and that RPO stuff really doesn't require him to run even. That was the crazy thing about the RPOs, right? Nick Foles can't run.
uh-huh.
Nick Foles can't run.
He ran that offense to perfection, though.
But he ran, and he got the ball. What's the main thing, Jay? He got the ball out quick.
Absolutely.
Three-step drops. Where are the three-step drops in this offense with Carson Wentz?
Ten different receivers. Carson was only hitting Zach Ertz.
True. Very true. You know? Very true. But he was open, though.
Yeah. Now,
we're asking for him to hit stuff like that right now, Jay. I mean, Jay, we're asking him to hit stuff like right now because it's the simple play. Hit your tight end, move the sticks.
I don't know why he won't do it.
I don't know.
Talented enough to do it.
Yep. Absolutely, man. Listen, man, I know we're pressed for time, so we got to ask you worst narratives in sports in Philly and ladies, man.
Now, listen, that Sixers one was very passionate for me, Mutombo.
That's why I told Tyler to put that one in there, man.
Now, just to keep it brief, that one was passionate to me because we were on a nice winning streak and we were ripping the East apart when we made that trade.
41-14 at the trade deadline.
And my other one, my other debate that I'm tired of is throw it to Embiid in the post and get out the way. Can people please stop saying throw the ball? Oh, we got a big man. Just give it to him. How hard can it be? That's not the NBA. You need wings
who can attack. And the more wings you have that can attack and put pressure on the defense, the better your offense will be. Stop this, throw it into the post. He's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and this is not 1987.
Oh, man, that's a great one. I love that one.
You feel me, DeMarcus.
No, I know. That's a great one. You got a ladies' man on the way out?
Nah, Will Smith, man.
Will Smith, there you go. Also, yo, 1 week, NBA draft.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
And 9 days.
I will take Buddy Hill, and I'll drive Mr. Al Horford up to California myself.
Yeah, you got time. No big deal, right?
Yes.
No big deal, Jay. Yeah, they'll give you off of work. I'm taking Buddy Hill. I'm going to go pick up Buddy Hill and take Al Horford. Your employer will be like, no problem. Go ahead.
Get Mr. Hill the cheesesteak on the way in.
Jay, I'll talk to you, man.
Talk to you, brother.
All right, man. Be safe. 610-632-0975. Is the poll wrapped up?
Almost. I think it's got about a minute left, so I'll give you the answer in just a minute.
All right, so let's go to Travis on the cell next, and we'll get the poll update and try to squeeze everybody else in. Travis.
Hey, what's up, Devon? How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man?
My man. Hey, I think the narrative is Carson Wentz does not buy into this offense, and that's what you see. There's no way Nick Foles runs the offense like he does. Carson doesn't flat like the offense. And you'll hear it. And, you know, I even remember early on in his tenure where he made some comments, there's nothing wrong with my footwork, there's nothing wrong with my mechanics. The Doug's saying he's going to work with the mechanics, but I also think now, Carson, and I don't understand this, like, he's from North Dakota State, not Florida State, not, you know, the U, and he can't be coached. And you're seeing all that because there's no way a guy that talented is just, like, you got to get rid of the ball. And he can't read defenses. But he wants to do what he wants to do. He doesn't want to work within the confines of the offense. Offensive football is so simple. They've got to get back to running the ball and being dominant, a dominant running team. And yeah, he's had some injuries, but can we stop with it, man? Get the guys the ball where they can make a play. I'm so tired of, he doesn't have weapons. Like, man, Nick Foles had these same guys. Like, it's the same guys. You know, he didn't have a ton of speed. You know, he had my man Aguilar looking like a world beater. Like, stop making excuses for the guy. He's got to do it. You know, and I think the big thing is, and the caller before said it, like, he's not a star. He's a guy that plays professional quarterback. He plays that position, but he is not a star. He's not performing like a star. And he's not even leading these guys. And, you know, that's why the locker room is fractured at this point. And you'll hear about it. And a guy that could help. He would be good maybe out with the Raiders if he wants to throw it down the field all the time. And maybe you bring Derek Carr here and you get a couple picks or something. But I'm
tired of it already.
Look, Nick Foles outdueled the GOAT. So love him, hate him, believe he should be in, believe he should be called. You can't take that away. He outdueled the GOAT. You know, and in a 10-3 game, a 7-3 game, he outdueled it. He went throw for throw. And beat Tom Brady. So, you know, and I think that time looms too, you know, if that's a big shadow that's cast by Nick Foles in that regard. So.
I got you, man. On the way out, man, which one you want to give us or both? Narratives, lady man, which one?
The narrative, and I think people are going to see it, unless they move Simmons for Harden, is that, you know, Embiid and Simmons can't win together.
Yep. Yep. We've heard that a couple of times tonight, man.
I think, ladies, man, let me think. Ooh, might not go back, maybe like my boy Richard Roundtree.
Whoa, Richard Roundtree, you went back on that one. We've already had Billy D and Teddy P, so that's a good one.
Yeah,
Richard Roundtree.
Yeah.
Listen, man, thanks, man. Trav, we'll talk to you.
My man.
All right, always, man. Appreciate it. Derek in West Philly. What's up, Derek?
Hey, D, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Man, listen, I was busy all day, right? Running around doing things, I haven't really listened to the radio. So when I just heard what you played, Doug, man, that sounded like, you know, like, you know how somebody says something about your son or something, you supposed to have his back, then you like, well, why ain't he saying anything to protect his son? It's like, it's almost like he didn't want to say anything to protect the man.
Right, right.
Right. I'm listening, I couldn't believe what he was saying, like, I'm like, wait a minute. He keeps talking about Brett Favre and how cool he is, but what about his quarterback? He ain't saying nothing.
Yeah, we're still going to be friends. It's like, nobody's asking if you're going to be his friend any longer. It was like he was more worried about losing that friendship.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, your team barely got 3 wins, and you talking about how cool you is with Brett Favre. Like, what's going on? I can't believe it, man. I know you pressed for time. I guess got one person that was very good with the lady.
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
And this is top dog right here.
All right.
Number one host in the city. Mr. Big D Devine.
Oh, no. Well, no. No. Leave me out of this one, man. Thanks for the call, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Leave me out of that one. No, I'm not writing that one down. Let's go to Lance in Arizona. Lance, we got about, what, 60 seconds?
I'm going to go fast. So when people talk about Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, I talked with this point about Jeff Mosher about a couple years ago. When the Eagles run for 100 yards, Nick Foles and Carson Wentz average 28.5 points, 27 points. When they don't, it's all the way down at 16. Go look at that Super Bowl. They ran for 164 yards. You want to know why it was really hard to stop them? Because you didn't know what they were going to do. This offense is so predictable, you know they're not running most of the time. And the fact that you have Miles Sanders and there's games where they just don't run them is ridiculous. Like, he's going to come back, and I guarantee you, they're going to try to be what the Chargers are, or not Chargers, but the Chiefs are doing right now, where Edwards-Helaire has like 5 runs. You don't have Patrick Mahomes. I love Carson Wentz. He is not Patrick Mahomes. You have to establish the run to help him out, because it's been proven. When he gets a good running game with them, they're averaging 28 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't, they're below. It's that simple.
Let me tell you what our friend Coffee Jones sent us a little bit earlier. Lance, offense cost 67 pass plays percentage-wise, 33% running plays, which puts them at 28th in the NFL of the 32 teams.
Go look at the Super Bowl years. They were all the way down in the 50s range in passing. I think it was like 57 to 33.
Yeah.
Like, it tells you everything you need to know. When the Eagles run the ball, and that's Doug's best year on offense, they stuck to the run, and that is what won them that Super Bowl.
I know, man. Lance, we'll catch up, man, probably tomorrow. Brian, sorry, man, we got to go. Tyler, can you give us the final poll results? Brian in Dallas, call us tomorrow, man. We'll get you up for sure tomorrow night. Thank you, man. What do you got?
Yeah, quickly, the question is, what are the topics that are or were tiresome in Philadelphia sports? 1,010 votes. The Wentz-Foles debate takes this one with 72% of the vote. 17% say trading up for Mariota. 8.5% say Hinkie Colangelo. 3% say Mutombo and Ratliff.
Got it. Thank you, man. Ty, great work as always, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks to all the callers, listeners, tweeters out there. Everybody, all the veterans. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock after Cousins Corner. Family game night tomorrow as well. Happy Veterans Day, everyone. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 7, right here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.